Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. Here on the Voice of Hope, it's a place where you can receive a word from God that will encourage you in your walk with the Lord. You know, Jesus Christ came to earth. He lived a victorious life. He died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again from the dead and conquered Satan, death, hell, and the grave so that we could walk in victory. But we must learn how to walk in that victory for us, that God has for us. And part of learning how to do that is to understand the Word of God. So I do a lot of teaching from the Word of God. And so I would encourage you maybe to get a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen and write down the scripture verses I'm going to read in English. And later you can read and think about them and allow the Holy Spirit to make them true in your life. But today I want to talk about God's great promises. See, the Word of God is filled with promises for us, but we must learn how to receive those promises and walk and live in those promises that God has given to us. And so I want to talk about those great promises God has given to us today and how we can receive them in our life and the change it will make in our life. And I want to begin by looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Grace is God's favor and enablement. Enablement means God gives you an ability to do something. Peter is saying here, grace, God's favor and ability be multiplied to you, and God's peace be multiplied to you. See, we can only walk in God's power when we walk in peace. If we are troubled and concerned and fearful and doubting, we won't walk in peace. You know, we can be in the midst of many problems, but we can only have peace when we keep focused on Jesus Christ. And when Peter got out of the boat and walked on in the storm, on the water, as long as he kept his focus on Jesus, he had peace even in the midst of the storm. He was able to walk on water and do the supernatural when he kept his focus on Jesus. But when he took his focus on Jesus and began to look at the storm, he lost faith and he went down. Grace, he said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So grace, God's favor and ability, grows in us through our knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. The more you get to know God, the greater peace you will have. The more you get to know God, the greater favor you have in your life. And God will give you greater ability. But it comes through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. That's why we got to continue to grow in understanding God. And not just understanding God in our head, but understanding God in our heart. Because when we understand God in our heart, it changes our life. There are people who know a lot about God, but their life hasn't changed. But your life changes when you allow the knowledge of God to change your life and you begin to walk and talk and act like God wants you to. So he says, grace and peace be multiplied, not added to, multiplied, increase rapidly in you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. So he says that grace and peace, God's favor and ability and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So God just doesn't give us grace and peace in the knowledge of him. He gives us divine power to receive all things that have to do with life and godliness. Godliness means having a life like God, living like God, not living like the world, living like God. So it not only gives us grace and peace, but he gives us power so we can live a godly life, so we can live a kind of life that's pleasing to God, a life that's victorious. You know, God always wins. When you walk in a godly lifestyle, you always win. When you live in a godly lifestyle, you walk in love, joy, and peace. You walk in power. See, and that comes through the knowledge of God, that comes through relationship with God. Then verse 4 says, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. So God has given us, as we grow in the knowledge of God, He's given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So he says the reason God has given us these great and precious promises is that we might be partakers of His divine nature, that His nature is what He's like. So we may by partakers be like Him, so we may partake in His divine or godly nature, and it helps us escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so God's given us promises so we can live like Him, and so that we can escape the corruption and evil and wicked things in the world that come through lust of the flesh. Lust is when you desire things of the world. But as you grow in the knowledge of God and the promises of God actually enable you to overcome the powers of the enemy. The promises of God help you to walk a godly lifestyle. The promises of God give you His favor and His ability in your life. The promises of God also give you the power of God in your life. So we need to learn the promises of God, and we need to learn how to come into the promises of God. Because you see, all the promises of God have requirements. God promises these things if you do certain things. And so we need to understand the promises of God. So the first promise of God that I want to look at is the promise of salvation. God has promised us salvation. God sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and He rose from the dead so that we could receive salvation. So the first great promise of God is salvation. In Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. So two things, God has promised salvation, but you must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart. And He says in verse 10, the heart believes to righteousness. In other words, righteousness is right relationship with God. So if you really believe God, you're going to have a right relationship with Him. See, everything about salvation comes out of a right relationship with God. You know, people think salvation is just accepting Christ as your Savior, so you go to heaven. Yeah, you go to heaven, but God wants you to live a victorious life today. And that happens through a relationship with God. And that happens through faith in your heart. It says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. So as your faith grows, you walk in a greater right relationship with God. And with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. So as you grow in this relationship with God, you begin to confess things that God confesses. In other words, you begin to speak things that God speaks. You don't speak as the world speaks. See, because the world, the word of the world, the speech of the world does not bring life. The speech of the world brings hate, anger, condemnation, depression. The speech or words of God bring life, faith, and hope and build people up. So you must believe to righteousness, right relationship with God, and confess with your mouth to salvation. So salvation is our first and great promise that God has given to us. And we see that demonstrated in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit, and Peter preaches his first sermon after he has been filled with the Spirit. He preaches a sermon of power, And he shows us the power of salvation, the first great promise. Remember, the promises of God are given to us that we may be partakers of his divine nature and escape the corruption of the world. So salvation is given to us in order that we may have the nature of God and escape the corruption of this world. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, they asked Peter. Peter's preached to them about Jesus Christ. And they asked Peter, what must we do to be saved? And this is what Peter says to them, repent and let everyone you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and all, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So the first thing that Peter says we must do to receive this promise of salvation is we need to repent. Repent means to turn away from your sin. So we need to confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior. We need to believe in our heart, but we need to repent of our sins. See, sin robs you of the life of God. Sin keeps you from the life of God. You have to turn away from your sin. Repent says, God, I'm sorry for my sin, and I give my life to you. I'm not going to walk in that sin anymore. So he says, repent, let everyone you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So baptism in water is a sign that you have repented of your sin. Now, water does not wash away your sin. It is simply a sign that you've died to your old man, you've died to your sinful nature, and you come up a new person in Christ Jesus. So Peter says you need to repent and be baptized. And then he says, and then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, when you're saved, you're forgiven of your sins. You're made brand new. It says, if anyone is Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when you receive the promise of salvation, your old person dies. You become a new person in Christ Jesus. You put your faith in Christ Jesus and Jesus only. You repent of your sins. As you do that, he's going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is given to you to give you the power to live the Christian life. So the way it works is that when you die to your old man, when you confess that Jesus is your Savior, and you put your trust in him, and you repent of your sins, you become a new person. John 3 says you become born again. You become a child of God. You become a new person. And then you receive the Holy Spirit so that you can walk in this new life, so that you can walk in the victory that he has for you. And he says this promise is not only for you. He says, for this promise is to you, to your children, and to all those who are far off, as many the Lord our God will call. So this promise of salvation, this promise of forgiveness of sin, this promise of new life, this promise of the Holy Spirit is for you if you'll accept Christ your Savior. It is for your children, and it's for everyone afar off. That means your descendants and your future descendants. See, salvation, when you truly enter in salvation, it not only affects you, it affects your family, your children, and your descendants when you truly enter into and receive the promise of salvation. And then verse 40, Peter goes on and says, and with many other words, Peter testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to the church. And they continued steadfastly in apostle doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. So you see the transformation that happens in their lives. See, because they have made a decision to receive the promise of salvation, they've received a new life in Christ. They've died to their old man. They received the Holy Spirit in their life. Then there is a change that happens. It says they continued steadfastly. That means they continued steadily. They kept on continuing. It's like running a race and continuing to run a race. They continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine and teaching. So every day they're receiving the teaching of the Word of God. Every day they were growing because they've changed. They are new people in Christ Jesus. They are not the same people before. They are hungry for God's Word. They are hungry for God. See, God wants to transform our lives. God is raising up a generation of men and women who are fully committed to Him. That is the promise of God. And so they continue steadfast in the teaching of the apostles, in prayers and fellowship. Prayers and fellowship and breaking bread and from house to house. So daily they receive the teaching of the Word. Daily they fellowship together, and daily they prayed together. And it says, as a result of that, in verse 46, it says, so they continued daily in one accord in unity in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who should be saved. See, there was a transformation that happened in Jerusalem. A change that happened that changed everybody's life. See, the promise of salvation is not just salvation to go to heaven. It's not just accepting Jesus in your life. No, it's a transformation in your life. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. That word salvation means salvation from Satan, salvation from death, salvation from hell, salvation from the world, salvation from sin, salvation from sickness, salvation from poverty. It's a total salvation. See, God wants to bring a total salvation and transformation. That is God's promise to you. That is the promise of salvation. It is the greatest promise, and it changes our life if you truly receive that promise. See, God wants to raise up a generation in Kenya and Uganda and Burundi and around Africa and around the world, people who are truly saved. Their lives have been transformed by the Word of God. We saw that grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has given us great and precious promises, that through them you may be partakers of His nature, having escaped the corruption of this world. I believe we are coming into the greatest times of the world because God is raising up a church that walks after in His grace and His favor, walks in the knowledge of God, walks in fellowship with other believers, breaks bread together, prays together, that shares life together. You see, the church transformed the world because of salvation. Today, maybe you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior. And Jesus wants to come into your life today and change your life. He wants you to become a part of a group of people whose lives are changed. That is the promise of God. He's promised not only to save us, but to change our life so that we can walk in the nature of God and we can walk in His power and His blessing. So if you've not done that, I want you to just repeat this prayer after me. And just repeat it after English with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm thankful that you came into the world. I thank you for dying for my sin. I thank you that you rose again. And I thank you for your salvation. Today, Jesus, I believe in you. I confess you as my Savior. I repent and turn away from my sins. I give my life totally to you, to love you and to serve you. Help me, Lord, to grow in my knowledge of you, so I can walk in your grace and your favor and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. So I encourage you to find a good body of believers, a good church that just doesn't sing and dance, but a church that lives the life of Christ together. God loves us to worship Him, but it should change our lives. We should be totally different. See, The early church changed the world because their lives were changed. Their communities were changed. See, God is looking for a new people that walk in His grace and His favor and His power, walk in the knowledge of Him. Salvation is the first promise that God has given to us, and it's the door we enter into all the other promises that God has given to us. The second promise I want to look at is the promise of forgiveness of sin. See, now, after you become a believer, after you become saved and accept Jesus as your Savior, from time to time, we still fall into sin. We still do things that are wrong. The important thing is you don't live in sin. But we all make mistakes sometimes. Sometimes we say things, do things, or think things that we shouldn't do. And we need to bring those things before God, because every sin that you allow in your life separates you a little bit from God, separates you from His grace, His favor, His blessing, His peace, His promises. And so your whole Christian life, God will continue to show you things in your life that need to change. And the promise God has given to us is 1 John 1:9. That is a promise of God, 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a great promise. That is a second important promise in our lives. But it says, if we confess our sins, not if you hide your sin or pretend like you don't have a sin or deny your sin. It says, if you confess your sin, if you say, God, I have sinned, I've done wrong. And the sooner you do that, you know, if I say something wrong, immediately the Holy Spirit will speak to me. You shouldn't have said that. And when that happens, I say, God, what I said was not right, and I ask you to forgive me. And if what I spoke offended somebody else, then I go to them and ask them to forgive me. I say, I shouldn't have said that. Or if I do something I shouldn't have done, maybe I get angry or something, and I say something or do something I shouldn't do. You know, I first of all confess and say, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. And then if it affects somebody else, I go to them and I ask them for forgiveness. See, because as soon as you confess it, God says, if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you, wash it completely away of all unrighteousness. And so that is something we walk in. See, you're saved by grace. You receive a new life, but part of walking in that new life is not allowing sin to grow in your life. Sin is like weeds that grow in your shamba. You have to dig up the weeds in your shamba, or if you let the weeds grow, they will destroy the plant. And if you let sin grow in your life, it will destroy your life. It will destroy your productivity. You know, a field that has lots of weeds doesn't produce much grain. As the weeds are taken away, the grain becomes more and stronger. Why? Because the weeds are removed. And the sooner you remove the weeds, the better it is for the shamba. The sooner you deal with the things you do wrong or the sin in your life, the stronger you'll be get and the more powerful you'll be and the more productive you will be in your life. So the second great promise is forgiveness of sin. The third great promise that God has given to us is victory. God wants to walk in victory. No matter what's going on in the world, God wants you to walk in victory. But you know, you won't have victory until you have true salvation, until you've allowed God to truly change you. You're truly saved. You won't have victory if you allow sin in your life. So you have to confess your sin, repent of your sin, turn away of your sin, and deal with your sin. Don't let it continue in your life. And then when you walk in victory. And so the promise I love for victory is Romans 8:28. Write down this. This is a good promise. Romans 8:28. And it says there, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That is one of my favorite promises. It says all things. We know that all things work together for good. No matter what's happening in your life, you can know that if you are a born-again believer, you are a child of God, you're dealing with sin, that everything that happens in your life works for your good. And to those who love God, if you really love God and are following God, everything will work. Even bad things work for your good. if you truly love God, because God uses bad things in our life to help us grow and become better in our lives. I had a friend of mine that I was meeting with this morning that has gone through some challenges with his car, and a mechanic tried to rip him off and steal from him. And he began witnessing to the mechanic and talking to the mechanic, and God did a work in the mechanic, and God did a work in my friend's life, and God blessed him through that and gave him an even better vehicle. And God took what was bad and made it better, because all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So you have to be walking in the will of God and love God to see everything work out for your good, even the bad things. Then you go on down in Romans 8, 35 through 37, Paul says here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to the slaughter. Verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. In other words, no matter what's happening, whether it's tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or whatever it is, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. That is the promise of God for people of God who are born again, who have given their lives to Jesus Christ, who walk according to the Word of God, grow in the knowledge of God, and walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness is a big thing. You need to walk in forgiveness to come into the fullness of all that God has for you. We are more than conquerors to the one who loves us and is here for us. The last great promise that I want to look at today as we conclude is healing. God has promised healing in 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24 says, whom himself bore our sins on his body on our tree, that we, having died to sin, might live in righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. By whose stripes we are healed. By his stripes we were healed. And that is, Because he died for our sins. See, sin allows sickness to work in our life. But he died for our sins that we might live in righteousness, right relationship with him. And then when we do that, we receive the healing he has for us. And so I just want to pray for you today. Lord God, I pray for every person listening to the Voice of Hope today. We thank you, Lord, for the great and precious promises you've given to us, so that we may partake of your divine nature and escape the corruption of this world. Lord, I pray that you'll help every person to walk in your salvation, to walk in your victory, and I pray healing upon every person who is listening to the Voice today. May the power of God come down their lives and bring healing into their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if I encourage you to invite your friends to listen to Voice of Hope every Sunday. And if you ever miss a program or want one of your friends to listen to a program, I post my programs every week on my website, voiceofhopetoday.org, www.voiceofhopetoday.org. You can always listen to all my messages on my website. But anyway, God bless you today. God encourage you as you walk with him this week. And tune in next week to the Voice of Hope. May God bless you as you walk with him. In Jesus' name, amen.